Shoots and Shoots with Joe and Sabrina. On Afternoons, 102.5 ABC Perth and ABC Radio WA.
You are a patient person, my friend.
That's all right. I've got things to do, Joe.
I've got places to be.
Places to be. Things to do. Lots of stuff to do.
We finally have your expert. I was going to say opinion, but it's not. It's knowledge. Expert knowledge on all things gardening, and people are desperate to ask you questions.
Often opinion, though, especially if it's to do with coccus palms and yuccas. Very strong opinions on those.
Dig them out.
Burn them. Waste them.
Kevin and Janie got in quite early on the text line and would love your advice on how to minimise the potential devastating wind damage to their young, thriving jacaranda. They're in Carnarvon. Oh, that's a lot of wind. And will most likely be impacted by Cyclone Narelle. Should they remove most of the foliage, please? Thanks in advance.
Okay. So now, depending on the shape of the jacaranda, number one, you will probably need to prune. But make sure that you prune so you've got an equal balance on all sides of the tree. Definitely take some of the foliage off. Not all of the foliage. The problem with cyclones, of course, it's the wind just strips all the foliage off, but you're left, hopefully, with the stems. Depending on how large it is, I would whack in three stakes just so if it's going to bend and move, it can only move so far.
A little bit of protection.
Yeah, so just don't tie the tree to each of the three stakes, but just wrap it around so that it can still move but not bend right over. But I would definitely remove some of the foliage from the tree.
Okay. Yeah. Good luck, Kevin and Janie, and we're thinking of you, and hopefully those winds aren't too ferocious.
I just remembered last time I was up in Carnarvon and they had a massive storm come through. Some people actually put splints on their tree. You know, when you break a leg
back in the olden days
and they put wooden splints on. So depending how tall the trunk is, that's another thing you can do. You can actually put posts right next to it and drive them into the ground and then wrap around it so you've got a splint on it to hold it during that strong wind.
Okay. Good tips. Caroline is in Como. Hi, Caroline.
Oh, hi. How are you going?
Good, Caroline.
Thanks for taking my call. I want to get on top of weed suppression this year.
Yep.
So I was doing some research and I just wanted your opinion between the Myoporum alba, I think it's called creeping, or a Diachondra. I've got sort of shady and some very hot areas.
Okay.
Is one better than the other?
Yeah, I would definitely go Myoporum. Definitely okay. Above the Diachondra. Myoporum is so much tougher and much faster to cover, will take full sun, part shade, requires very little water. Diachondra requires a lot of water to get established.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And is it all right to put it in now?
Yeah, perfect. Or? No. Okay. No need to wait, Caroline. Nip out there this afternoon.
Okay, great. And also, if I've got smaller plants,
yes,
is it going to go over them? Like, what's the best thing? Like, I read that you just plant like 10 centimetres apart or something.
Yeah.
Or, no, not that close. But
Is it going to take over the smaller plants?
Yeah, is it going to take over the smaller plants?
No.
Keep on top of it.
No. You just keep on top of it.
Okay.
It won't take over smaller plants. You're using the Myoporum parvifolium, which is the smaller leaf one. There is another Myoporum that's it's like a Triffid, and it would take over. But the one you're using won't take over.
Okay, lovely.
Yeah.
And can I just ask a super other quick question? Mm-hmm. Is it okay to prune natives now?
Yes.
Or should wait till it cools down a bit?
No, if you've got time, I always say prune when you've got time. The only time you never, ever, ever prune in Perth is from November through to sort of mid-March.
Okay, lovely. Yep. Thanks so much, Serena.
Okay, thanks, Caroline.
Okay, bye.
Happy. Now, Sharon is in Denmark, and I think we were trying to see some photos of your rosemary, but we're struggling. Sharon, do you want to just describe what's happened?
Yeah, I will do my very best. Okay, so we've got quite a few rosemary plants in a hedge, and there's one in particular that is looking, it started to turn yellow, and it's now looking quite, some of the branches are looking quite dead. Now, it's definitely not over water, and it's probably not underwater.
Right.
I'm just wondering, would it have a fungal disease or some sort of disease in it?
Yep. So okay. What happens right down at the base of the plant, they where the main stem hits the ground, they get a fungal disease. You don't notice that it's there until the plant starts to die, which means that the fungus has travelled all the way up through the plant. Mm. So by the time you see the problem, it's usually too late, Sharon.
Okay. Some of the branches are actually still green and healthy. Should I just prune out all the dead
Yes.
Yep, okay. And should I spray it with anything?
You can try spraying it with an anti-rot spray.
Okay.
So the same stuff that they use for dieback, phosphorus acid.
Yeah, I've got some of that.
Oh, there you go. That's the job. So prune first, Sharon, then spray.
Yep. Thank you so much, ladies.
My pleasure.
See you, Sharon. Oh, Denmark's such a beautiful part of the world, as is Albany, very close by. Elizabeth, you've made me giggle with this description. You have a monster
philodendron.
Philodendron that's sending out thingies.
Oh, it's got thingies. Oh, my goodness, Elizabeth. There is nothing worse. I've always said I hope my philodendron never gets thingies.
It's got thingies, yeah. There's these sort of thumb size, they're not suckers or anything, because I got two of them about a year ago and I stuck them in a pot just to see if they propagate.
Yeah.
And nothing has happened there. So why is it sending out these things? Because it's a wall in one way, carport in the other. Is it looking for something?
Ah, so now there's two thingies that philodendrons can get. One of the thingies will be a very phallic-looking flower. And the other thingy that they get is aerial climbing roots.
Oh, now that second one.
Okay.
Because the flowers,
Not penis looking. No.
Not penis looking. The botanical name is a spathe flower. So that's in a sheath. And then you get the very phallic-looking bit on the inside. So if it's not that kind of thingy, philodendrons are part of the climate. They're tropical climbing plants. So they send out these big, thick aerial roots, and they use them to climb up trees and palms. So they don't serve any purpose apart from wanting to climb. So if you don't want those, you can cut them off. All those thingies just sitting there, you can cut them off because it won't affect the plant whatsoever.
There we go. Chop, chop, chop. Elizabeth, get rid of those thingies.
I like the thingies. I think
a great word.
That's a great description of stuff that happens to plants. Lots of plants get really weird thingies. They have things like mycoplasmas and all these really complex viruses that do really wacko things. Like you'll get flattened, thick stems on things, and then you'll get where the virus turns all the flowers green so they don't actually form any colour.
This is why you never stop learning.
I know. It's awesome stuff.
It really is awesome stuff. Yeah. I'm reading Bob Brown's latest book.
Oh, yes.
And he's describing some just remarkable old trees, and he's got a wonderful power of description, but you just – the thingies on the trees.
Oh,
really,
all the thingies.
It's
thingies
magic.
Everywhere.
Lisa's in Hilton. Hi, Lisa.
Hey, everyone. How are you?
Yeah, good, Lisa.
Good. Last September, we planted beautiful viburnum emerald lusters all down our driveway.
Yeah.
They are such an amazing plant. They started off at about maybe only 30 centimetres.
Yep.
They've hit 2 metres already.
Wow.
I don't know what to do next, though. Like, when can I prune? Like, they're just amazing, but I don't know what to do next.
Wow, it sounds to me like you don't have to do anything, Lisa, because they're going gangbusters.
They are going gangbusters, but they're just
did they get
some
burnt?
Are pushing, some are going up.
Did they get burnt? Did they get burnt this summer at all? Because emerald luster is susceptible to sunburn.
Yeah, they did, but nothing major. Looked after them so beautifully. Yeah.
Now, if you want your viburnums to be a neat hedge, you can sort of lightly prune them. So don't ever heavy prune the emerald luster. Other viburnums can, but I wouldn't do it with the emerald luster. What a lot of people do to prevent, so if you prune now, it's good because the new growth will harden up before next summer. So I would be giving them a light prune at the end of March, and then the new growth that comes through will be, you know, hardened off before we get to December.
Okay.
So
happy pruning.
Beautiful. They're really soft and an emerald green colour. It's a beautiful hedge.
Yeah, it's absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah.
And apparently gets little white flowers as well.
Yes, it does. And then little tiny berries. So, yep, good choice, Lisa. Can't wait.
Good choice, Lisa. Now, Pam lives in Gosnells.
Yep.
Has a small garden bed out the front of a bay window about 4 metres long, 0.75 metres wide, grey sandy soil, and she wants to put in some low maintenance colour.
Mm.
What should she put in, and what does she need to do to make that sandy soil?
So that it grows things. I would definitely get some compost in there and some sheep poo. Now, if you want colour, I would definitely put in grevilleas. There is there is one that's come into the nurseries, and it's called Grevillea Wow.
Is that what's the really? There's a pinky one, and it's quite elegant.
Oh, that's probably Aphrodite's Dream.
So stunning.
Mm,
okay, not that. Beautiful. Something else.
Yeah, but I mean, there's such a choice of grevilleas that only get to around a metre high.
And then the birds will come.
Yeah, but and they flower on and off all year round. So I'd put in grebs, but definitely compost and a bit of sheep poo.
Compost and sheep poo and plant some grevilleas, Pam.
Yep.
Anne has got a question about dragon fruit. Hi, Anne.
Hi.
Hello, Anne. What can we do for
you? Just wondering, I want to grow some dragon fruit, and I read that you need two plants in order to pollinate them. Do you need a male and a female, or
It's not about male and female. It's about having cross pollination. So, all of the people I've spoken to that grow dragon fruit, they say that you really, if you've only got one, you're really not going to get much fruit at all. So it's about the cross-pollination process. And what the growers say is that if you get a different clone to the one you've got, so if you go and buy yourself another dragon fruit and put that in, then the possibility of getting much more fruit will be there. So I would definitely go and buy another dragon fruit.
That's wonderful. I've actually bought two to make sure.
Perfect.
You're on the money, Anne. You're on the money. 1300 221 0025. I think we can squeeze in a couple more calls. Now, Teresa says, please tell her, is it the Mariah Redberry?
Yeah.
Are they a hazard or slippery? Because she has them as a dividing hedge, but her neighbours are carrying on because she's worried about slipping on them. Are they a hazard or slippery?
Marias? No. Marias are a droop. If you tread on them, you're not going to roll on it. You just squish them.
Okay,
It's a soft. It's not a hard roly-poly. No, there's
Teresa,
no problem with
you can
with
tell
Maria.
Your neighbour that Sabrina has categorically said no problemo.
No.
Okay.
You won't roll on them, you'll squish them.
There you go. Now, June wants to know about pawpaws. And thank you for your lovely message about Stephanie Alexander. June was saying she had such good times cooking her recipes and went to the launch of her Cook's Companion. She has a signed copy and she went and checked the date. 1996. Very well worn, well
wow.
used. That's great, June. But she wants to ask you, Sabi, if her young pawpaw tree, it's got 13 pawpaws on it, can they all survive, their babies, or should she get rid of a few? And how long do they take to be
edible? Okay, so I would definitely take some of those pawpaws off. I would definitely take the smaller ones off because we're hopefully going to get some rain on the weekend.
I'm crossing my fingers.
So they won't have time to mature over the winter period. So I'd take the smallest ones off, leave the largest ones on. With the pawpaws, you really have to go by colour and you can smell when they arrive.
Do you know pawpaw is the only fruit I don't like?
A lot of people don't like it. It's an extraordinary...
It's quite rich. I don't know.
Yeah.
I've tried so many times.
But
fresh off a tree.
Weird, it's like it's in between sweet and astringent. You should try babaco instead.
Can you bring me some in?
Yeah. Well, I've got a babaco. They call it the champagne fruit because it's related to pawpaw, but it's fizzy like, and it actually tastes like champagne.
Wow.
Deadly.
Yeah, Mum had her neighbours had a pawpaw tree and loves them, and
yeah,
I just
I know some people.
I'm annoyed that I don't like it.
That's okay. Some people just use them to be put on their face.
Mm. Oh, okay. Didn't know that either.
Yeah, I've tried that. I prefer to eat them.
From pawpaws to apricots, Sarah, what's happening with your apricot tree?
Oh, hello. My apricot tree is way too big, so I was just wondering when to prune it, please.
Okie dokie, you need to do it this month.
Awesome. Thank you.
Okay. So, that was simple.
Oh, very simple. Very simple. Let's have a chat to Carol, who's in Margs. Oh, pippy trees, Carol. What's happening?
Hi. I'm new to this area from New South Wales. I'd like to plant a load of the peppermint trees.
Yeah.
Which is the best variety to grow as a hedge? Because I wanted to cut them right back and hedge them.
Now, there is the dwarf peppermint tree that you can get, Carol.
Yeah.
And that only gets to, how tall do you want it? Because they get to about 3 metres.
Oh, right. Yeah, not even that high.
Oh, you don't want that high? Now,
the problem
with the dwarf, well, you just prune them to keep them lower. But the problem with the dwarf pepper tree, well, it's not a problem, it's just something you need to be aware of. They get absolutely hammered with spider mite. So you'll see that the hedge looks like it's completely dead. The foliage will be a grey colour and there'll be black dots on the back and that's all the poo. So you just have to be aware that once a year they're going to look pretty awful.
Oh, is there another variety I can use to hedge?
Of the Agonis, there's five different varieties of Agonis, and the one that grows down south is actually a much better form and grows into a shrub. If Carol, if you can stay on the line and we'll hand you back to Ash, I'll get your phone number because there's not very many nurseries that sell it. Are you up here in Perth?
No, Margaret River.
Margaret River.
Yeah, Carol, Ash will get you and we'll chat to you offline.
Okay.
Hey, thank you everybody who's suggesting I just need to put a little bit of lime or lemon juice on the pawpaw. So many people saying if you put the lime or lemon juice on it, it is delicious. I'm going to give it a go.
Thank you.
Oh, I love this. I love everybody who's always helping everybody else. One more quick question. Robin in Albany, why is her banana passion fruit? It's got no pollen in the flowers. What can she do?
Nothing.
Oh, dear. Okay, sorry. That wasn't very helpful. Shouldn't have ended on that.
I'll buy another passion fruit.
Okay, buy another passion fruit. Thanks, Sabi.
My pleasure.
Chat.
ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.